Astonishing Legends Network.
It's Flashback Friday, and you know what that means. A classic episode of Scared All the Time's fan favorite bonus show, New Fear Unlocked, is out of the vault and on the main feed. This episode originally aired on Patreon July 17th, 2025, but is being played by you right now.
Disclaimer: this episode includes the usual amount of adult language and graphic discussions you've come to expect around here. But in the event it becomes an unusual amount, expect another call from me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to New Fear Unlocked. I'm Chris Kalari.
And I'm Ed Vicola.
And this week, we have a very special New Fear Unlocked that Ed has found. Ed, do you want to set this up?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm traveling, you're crazy, and we were trying to figure out this week's New Fear Unlocked, and I was like, you know what I think we have? I think we have when we were babies. So, basically, what you guys are about to see is a rare look, or I guess listen, to baby Chris and Ed in their first ever interview.
Yeah, it's like Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
But for us.
Yeah, if Muppet Babies sounded like shit, but I've gone and fixed it. All right, so basically we had done very early on, I think it was our second recording we ever did, was Abandoned Town, so we didn't release it till way later because we weren't proud of it or whatever. And it ended up being one of my favorite episodes.
There would be no Galooka Goo if there was no
There would be no
Galooka
Goo. There would be no people commenting on you fucking seeing that Sasquatch documentary or whatever.
Yeah.
Without it. So basically the thing about it though is that it was the steepest part of our podcasting learning curve when we did it. We had like 13 different mics. I was on, once again, the wrong coast. So what happened was part of Abandoned Towns, there's a very famous abandoned town in Connecticut called Dudley Town. And I had a friend from high school who had gone and like snuck in or whatever when we were in high school. And so I decided to reconnect with that person almost 20 years later to be like, we have a podcast. He's like, where can I find it? And I'm like, well, one episode's out. I promise it's a podcast. It's real. Will you come on our podcast and talk about it? And he said, yes.
Whew.
Do you remember this, Chris?
Barely. I mean, to be honest, when you told me that you were thinking about running the Dudley Town interview, part of my brain was like, oh, that's right. I really enjoyed that interview. The other part of my brain was like, can you remember a single thing about that interview? And
no.
I couldn't, but I remembered having a good time doing it.
Which must have also been a false or implanted memory, because when I was going through it, it was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, God.
So if to set up the scene, Chris is on a computer. I'm in Connecticut in my friend's kitchen. We're using a very directional microphone that only picks up like what's really right in front of it. Me and my buddy are trying to like, we're trying to use a pair of wireless headphones, one in each of our ears, like one for each of us, so we can hear what you're saying on the computer. We would just lose you for long tracks. You would lose us for long tracks. I sound like I'm across the street during the interview for parts of it. Like, it's so crazy. And when I was listening back through this, there was like a ghost or something that kept fucking up everything, which happened once before for us.
Yeah.
I don't remember what episode. Oh, another crazy thing is it's the first time we heard frogs on the show, because I ask you about what that sound is.
Wow, the birth of Frog Plus mode.
Yeah.
Woo.
I'm like, what's that infernal noise or whatever? Which now everyone will soon hear because I left it in. But this is Scared All the Time, and I'm me, so I did do a pass to make this the most listenable experience as you can. It was an undertaking, but we love our audience, and we'll move mountains if necessary, even if pushing these mountains may just come across as a very negligible amount.
I'm sure you could play this audio in the sphere with a video of us, and people wouldn't know the difference. You cleaned it up so nicely.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cleaned up a lot. So what you're about to hear is a discussion that was actually made as an abandoned town's bonus content before we even knew what we would need bonus content for. We did two pieces of bonus content with abandoned towns. We did this interview, and then we did I interviewed you about Centralia in Pennsylvania, which I'll also have to clean up at some point and release. But until then, I say let's just get into this ESPN Classic presentation of Abandoned, Dudleytown, Connecticut. We're here with Pat Townsend. You still go by that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Here with high school buddy Pat Townsend after many years of nothing. So we're doing the show, Pat, we were doing was about abandoned towns, and I wanted to talk about Dudleytown in Connecticut, something that I know you've been to and I was always too scared to go to. But I also remember in high school you told a story about going there that really freaked me out. And I thought it was you and your brother, but now you're telling me it's you and a friend.
Yeah,
so people who listen to the show, please welcome to Scared All Time. Very warm Scared All Time welcome to Pat Townsend. He's going to tell us a little bit about Dudleytown, a fairly famous and or infamous abandoned town in Connecticut.
All right, y'all. Hello. So yeah, I'm just saying it's I knew Ed way back in high school. And yeah, we decided... me and Ed, a long time ago, I convinced him, let's go ghost hunting throughout Connecticut. And we went to a few other spots. He did not like it. So basically, from there, I decided to head up to Dudleytown. It's in Cornwall, and it's just right past Kent, in a very strange location in Connecticut. If you know anything about it, the geography is just very strange. It sits in like a valley of like three hills, so it's just always dark. And now it's...
What the fuck?
Oh, we got music.
Sorry. iTunes open for literally no reason on my computer, and it just started blasting audio in our ears. But now we're back.
All right.
So you're saying it sits in a valley.
Yeah, this valley is a dark. People that own it now, it's the Dark Entry Forest Association.
Which I looked up, and they've owned it for like a really long time, weirdly.
Yeah, from like the 1920s, I think.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's just a parcel of land that's just been kind of like passed around from like owners and whatnot. But it was an early settlement in Connecticut. A bunch of tragic stuff happened there, mostly like economic reasons why people kind of left for the most part. But so the story goes, like when I went there, it was around 2003. So we were in high school,
yeah,
junior, and I was there with a buddy. And the first time we went, we just couldn't find like a good place to park, and kind of like, you have to sneak in. There's signs everywhere. It's like trespassing, you know, monitored, blah, blah, blah. So the first time we went up there, we couldn't find anything. So we just hitched on back. And then we planned it a little bit better, drove back up a little bit earlier, found a good spot, and then we snuck in, you know, like good high school kids do. And just when you're just walking through the woods, it's very just eerily quiet. It started getting, it's dark. It was, we know it was day out, but it was still just dark. It's mainly because of the geography of the land and whatnot. The forest is old, the trees are huge, and just dark. And there's just no life, just no, like, no birds, no squirrels.
Like,
no,
you don't hear anything.
Yeah, you just don't hear, like, when you go into a forest in Connecticut, you hear, like, a squirrel, a chipmunk. They're all over the goddamn place. Mm-hmm. There, nothing, just nothing. And then, like, our flashlights, I mean, who knows how old the batteries were or whatnot, but they just kept going in and out, not really working well. The camera that we did bring... It was a digital at the time. You know, you have to fill in with like the actual like AA batteries or AAAs.
A cyber shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 megapixels.
Yeah, pretty much. So you get like 4 shots before.
What is going on? This is the weirdest thing. So not only is the fucking, so Chris, not only is the fucking audition acting insane, mm-hmm, and not letting me adjust, what was that noise now?
Yeah, what was that?
It's not letting me adjust. It just keeps pushing it to some crazy high level. It also just keeps opening iTunes for no reason on the computer and just starts playing the trailer for Scared All the Time.
Oh.
Maybe.
Well, that's better than it playing like Sympathy for the Devil or something.
Either way, that is weird though.
Welcome to Connecticut. It's a strange state.
Fuck.
It's a very strange state.
All right, well, we'll just keep trying. If it keeps opening, I'll just keep canceling it. But that is fucking weird. All right, so sorry.
So yeah, getting back to like the camera, just, you know, we're just blindly just snapping a photo, waiting a couple seconds, snapping another photo, and then you just kind of around like that. Camera kicks out relatively quick. Flashlights kick out. We're just like, fuck. Like, we got to get out of here. It's
like
getting dark.
Like, anything with electricity just keeps dying.
It just did not work well for us at that time. Probably because we're high school kids and we have no idea the concept of how long a battery lasts. But, it was a whole thing. And then from there, like, I remember my buddy just walks, I'd say about 20 yards away from me, and I'm over there, and I just get, like, very eerie feelings. It's like you always kind of like someone's like watching you or something's heavy. You can constantly tell there's something like maybe moving in the corner of your eyes. That could just be the paranoia of, you know, you're trespassing on private property. Who knows?
Yeah.
So like I remember shouting over to him and I'm yelling pretty loud considering that, you know, we're not supposed to be there. And he just doesn't hear me. And I'm like, he's like 20 yards. How can he not hear me? So like I remember like running up to him being like, hey, man, can we go now? Like, I'm not comfortable. And I was like, didn't you hear me yelling? He's like, nah, I was just staring at some weird stuff over here. I was like, what? Can we just leave? Like, it's just not fun.
And then did you guys get far enough in that, like, you got to the ruins? Like, any evidence of this original colony or no?
No. That time that we went up, like, we were just lost. Just lost. It was a miracle that we even made it back out and got to our car and got out of there. And we're just like, we're not going back there again. It was just uncomfortable.
Wow.
So that was just, like, my first general experience with the Dudleytown area. Then, of course, you know, years later, in 2012, I remember I was up in Kent, up at Kent Falls, which is like 20 minutes away. And people that I was there with, you know, they're cutting out. It's a nice little park and go splash around with some waterfalls. They cut out and I was like, well, I'm about 20 minutes away. Let me just scoot on up to Dudleytown. Why not? So I went there by myself. And this time it was, I made it to where, like, you can see some of, like, the old stone platforms or, like, the houses. The settlement once was, or at least some structures stood. And there's, like, stone walls and same thing. And this is in 2012, so what, good, like, nine years later?
I can't do that kind of math, but it's got to be close to a decade.
Yeah.
And yeah, same thing. Still, just eerily quiet, just no life. Your words feel heavy. It's like you're short of breath. It's weird. It's just a very weird, heavy place to kind of be.
And it's also in a valley, right? So it's like you are constantly in the dark because on three of the sides, mm-hmm. the sun
just
has gone behind mountains.
Yeah, and that's why it's literally called the Dark Entry for society. It's just dark for no reason.
Oh, okay. Well, that is both makes it less creepy, but also the fact that they just acknowledge that it's dark there all the time is kind of creepy in and of itself.
But now, I think you, is that the name of the road?
Yeah, so there is also like a road that's like, it's just a dirt kind of road that goes through. It's known as the Dark Entry. It's just unsettling. You know, it's like, you don't want to go to a place where it's titled Dark Entry.
Yeah. Are the ruins there, are they just like small houses or were there ever larger buildings there or what kind of stuff is out there?
I mean, the only thing that I saw was, like I said, just like some old Connecticut style, like rock walls
mm-hmm.
that, you know, were put there in like the 1617s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much all that I got to. Because like I said, it's just, I was there by myself on this occasion. And it was, I got freaked out. Just
it was the same feelings you had 10 years earlier, like you were being watched.
Being watched, like I could have sworn that there were things moving at the corner of my eyes. And it's just like, you just keep turning your head around. I'm getting real paranoid. I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like getting arrested or getting whatever from whatever presence you might call is there. So I just booked it. That was like the last time I was there.
And it was like equal parts insanely quiet with, I think something's watching me. So it's like this feeling of I'm being watched, but there's zero evidence of anything around you.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like Dudleytown really became like a paranormal activity kind of place in like the 80s, thanks to the Warrens here in Connecticut. They basically went there in the 80s and just like declared it like demonic land, more or less.
Did something specific bring them there, or they just had heard creepy stories and decided like, hey, you know what, we could put something else on the list?
Yeah, that's kind of really what it came down to, like, because in that area, like the old settlements that were there were the people that live there, A, there wasn't really a lot of people that live there to begin with. It's just bad land. They tried to use it for like farming. It did not work well because Connecticut soil is terrible. It's just rocks and sand.
That's honestly why there's so many rock walls in Connecticut, because they were trying to like till the soil and it was just more rocks.
Yeah.
And then they built walls out of the shit. Yeah.
Pretty much. So it's like, and then there were just some deaths. There were a few people who were murdered by Native American raids at the time, because, you know, we just stole their land and they're mad. So they're like, wow, sweep through, kill whoever. And a couple people went mad is what the term used at the time. You know, like insane is another word that used. It's just like generally just not a good place to live. For like a good while, there was like a guy, like a hermit, that lived on the property somewhere, and he built a bunch of structures, and it's just crazy stuff that happened there. But it was really the 80s that gave Dudley Town its name, that brought the ghost community. So that's...
But now you, I believe you had said, or I'd read, or what have you, that there was fucking... like a lot of pesticides, or what happened there?
Yeah, so that happened earlier from the 80s. So, and like, I think, I want to say it was around the 60s or 70s, that whole area was just sprayed with DDT.
Huh. Why? For mosquitoes, or?
I honestly do not know. I just remember reading about it because I did some research into it. This was like years ago, so it isn't me trying to remember it. But like,
yeah.
It was just like, yeah, they sprayed it with like DDT, which could explain why there is no life there, because they just murdered it all with Agent Orange, you know. And so, but like, and I don't know how long that lasts and whatnot. And there's also like the aquifers that run through Connecticut and whatnot are also pretty high in mercury. So that could have led to the people going mad because, you know, they get heavy metal poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I think is so interesting about Dudley Town is that for a place that never really had a specific scary story, like there wasn't the Croatoa written on the tree, there wasn't, you know, it's just sort of this vague place where people feel creeped out and some bad stuff happened. But I don't know, it's almost like an ink blot for abandoned places, where you can kind of look at it and decide what kind of abandoned place it is to you and what scares you about it.
Yeah, I really do think that the Warrens really stamped that, like, demonic place. If you go there, don't take anything with you, don't leave anything behind. Like, they really stamped that on it. So like, when you go there, you're going into that place with that kind of mentality.
Right.
And not to mention, there are just signs everywhere that say like, no trespassing. No trespassing.
Well, that's the thing that weirds me out the most, is just how patrolled it is. It's so weird to me that and maybe because of the Warrens making it so popular in the 80s, they were like, we just don't want to fucking deal with people coming here every week. But the fact that there are roving police and or private security constantly, like 24 hours a day, around this weird holler in Connecticut that has no significant value in terms of agriculture or fucking business. Like, yeah. Why is it have so many no trespassing signs, so many fucking patrolled guards? And that, I think, probably adds to the lore of this place.
Yeah.
Of like, we got to go see what they're hiding. What are they hiding in Dudley Town?
Yeah. Because even with like, you know, sure, it's a ghostly tourist attraction, kind of. But I mean, even still, how many people a year are really trekking out to Dudley Town that you need like roving patrols 24 hours a day? Seems a little much for something like that, you know, just on its own.
Yeah, it's not Salem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, or even, you know, I'm sure you get more kids going to like abandoned malls, and those don't have 24-hour police protection stretching back to the 1920s.
Well, I will say there's two things that I find funny, is that my mom definitely went to Dudley Town as in like class trips in the 70s. So it explains a lot if it's post-DDT.
Yeah.
They're still just taking shitty kids' schools to like, hey, go sleep on the ground. Go sleep in the ground wet with pesticide.
Hey, are you enjoying this old episode of New Fear Unlocked? If so, don't forget that you can stay up to date with brand new commercial-free episodes of it every week the main show's off. Now here's one of those ad breaks you could be avoiding.
Speaking of abandoned places that aren't Dudleytown, I think Chris and I spoke a little bit about in the episode, or at least we spoke earlier, about Fairfield Hills, which I found to be funny, because I'm sure you've heard this, Pat.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so funny to me that Fairfield Hills, remember they shot the movie Sleepers there?
Yeah, they and shot then, like, Sleepers there.
As children, we all knew that the crew left equipment there because they were so scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to me that kids are talking about, like, Dolly Track when we're in middle school. It's, that, like, why did we all hear that? Why do we all know that story?
Yeah, Fairfield Hills, I would say, because I've been there too, also as a dumb high school kid, because what else are you going to do? And back then, the tunnels that connected the buildings were still open and not, like, filled in. So you could find ways into them. And, yeah, there were some very strange things going on in those tunnels. That was a much more eerier place than Dudleytown was. Like, Dudleytown just gave you a sense of just, like, something was heavy just kind of, like, on you. Just like, but like around you, but at a distance. Whereas in Fairfield Hills, when you were on that property, and especially in the tunnels, you felt like something swallowed you. And you're just like, I need to get out of here, like now.
Yeah.
You always heard strange noises echoing through. Who knows? It could have been a raccoon, you know, off in the distance making noise or something. But it was just very, very creepy. That was the place I don't ever want to go back to. It just was not fun.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of place where, like I was saying, Dudleytown is sort of this vague thing where, like, a place like Fairfield Hills, like a sanitarium, you're aware of the weight of the human suffering that occurred there. It's very present, as opposed to something that's just like this abandoned town in the woods has more of an allure of mystery to it.
Sure. And now, Pat, you were just saying that this was before they filled in the tunnels.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, do you know anything about the tunnels and why they're built in? Or what was the tunnel? Why were there tunnels?
I mean, so like the tunnels, because Fairfield Hills is very like infamous in this area. It's just kind of like another black stain on Connecticut's history, because it was just awful. It was like what occurred there. And a lot of legends and myths kind of come out of Fairfield Hills and what went on there. But the tunnels were mainly because, like, what they were doing made a lot of patients very aggressive, and rightfully so, especially when someone's messing around with you and they shouldn't be. So it's like, and there's no fences on, like, the property or, like, walls. It was
kind
of open.
Which sounds very Connecticut, where yeah. It's like, we don't want any, like, you don't want to, like, a blight. Mm-hmm. In the town, you know what I mean? Like, Westport has no
exactly.
exits on the parkway.
Yeah, nothing.
It's like, they don't want anything that's not beautiful in Connecticut. Like, so I imagine, like, we can't put up fences and seem unsightly.
Pretty much. So it's like, then, so like, they had to figure out a way to take patients from building to building, so they installed tunnels. So it's just like, they would just wheel patients under the ground from building to building. That sounds terrible.
Because the idea, I guess, being that if you did it outside, they can make a run for it.
Make a run for it, or it would right. or it would be seen by people, and nobody wanted to see that. So yeah. Hide it, you know, hide it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'd never thought about the aesthetic implications of housing the mentally ill.
That's Connecticut for us.
Well, it's like, I don't know if you can call most of the patients in there, I don't know if they were just mentally ill or not. It's just, they're just tortured, really. It's really what went on there.
Yeah.
And then when it shut down, they just opened up the doors and were just like, okay, go. And that was basically it. The people that were there at the time just flooded out.
Yeah.
Left.
Just left. Well, that was it. Then you're just like, oh.
Yeah, that was deinstitutionalization all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Ed and I worked on a show that shot at an old asylum, not asylum, but it was like a mental health complex.
A lot of not great rooms in that building.
Yeah, a lot of very...
Remember the mirror rooms? The like weird little kid mirror rooms?
Yeah, there were a lot of really questionable activities, I think, happening there. And the story we heard was that they had slowly, because deinstitutionalization had been such a clusterfuck, this place, they decided they were slowly going to release people so that you wouldn't have that wave of patients hitting the streets. And at some point, they had the whole complex open, but they only had one guy there.
Ooh.
And they kept this place open for this one guy until they finally got rid of that guy and then everybody finally left. But I think the only thing eerier than a truly abandoned asylum or institution is probably an institution that is abandoned except for the one, I imagine, Joker-like patient
honestly
chained up somewhere.
It's like, how bad you have to be the last person to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Full staff, still working.
Full staff.
Round the clock. And then it's still just going to be like, all right, we'll get out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, this still didn't prevent anything to the public society. He still just let go, just last. That's stupid. So anyway, yeah, Fairfield Hills, definitely something that a lot of people we know like ventured there. But as you said, it's fucked.
It was just very, so creepy.
And since they've collapsed all those tunnels.
Well, not so much collapsed. Some of them did collapse in, and others were just kind of like buried off so you can't actually get into them anymore, so they're closed off. I believe one of the colleges in Connecticut purchased a lot of the buildings, and they're renovating it, really. They're just like, they're renovating building by building. So it's just like, it's slowly trying to become something else, but it's still very creepy. When I was in the tunnels, we found a wheelchair that was one of the most unsettling wheelchairs ever.
What does that mean?
So it's like, when you see a wheelchair, you think it's like, oh, okay, it's just a wheel, just a chair with wheels and helps you move somebody that, you know, can't walk or whatnot. No, this one was, it just was slatted boards, like all the way down.
Oh my God.
Slatted everything. And you could tell that they were used to be like old buckles. So it's like you sat in this chair and you were just buckled to this chair. It had like a headrest. So if you were in the chair being moved, you were completely immobilized and just, there's nothing you could do. If the chair tipped over, you just went with it. You didn't fall out of the chair. You were attached to the chair. That was that scene.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, seeing that old wheelchair that we found in one of the tunnels was very unsettling, and that was just like, nope, I'm done. Bye.
So you were in a tunnel. You didn't necessarily like get into the patient rooms yet. You were still living in that tunnel life.
Yeah, that good old tunnel life.
And you saw like some Silent Hill shit.
Yeah, straight up Chud stuff.
Yeah, so you saw some Chud shit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's just funny how many things that in Connecticut people were like, we got to do this, we got to go. And then so quickly we're like, fuck it, let's go home.
Yeah, let's just leave it. Yeah, just terrible.
This was a mistake.
Pretty much.
I mean, now there's whole YouTube channels.
Where's, is Danvers in Connecticut?
Danvers, Connecticut. Sounds like it could be here.
It's where they shot Session 9, was like at another abandoned mental institution.
I do know Session 9. Great, great film, by the way.
It's a really good movie. I mean, you work in that field a little bit.
I love that movie.
Is that, now you that's not what you do, though.
No. Yeah, Session 9, that was the movie about, what, the guys that go in to clean the asbestos?
Yeah. It's really creepy. It's very good.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of something entirely different.
Yeah, yeah.
You're thinking, I was like, that's what you do, right? No, I'm thinking of Station A? Who the fuck, what am I thinking of? What's the movie with Carol Danvers from fucking the Marvel movies? And they like work with like troubled youth.
Oh, yeah. Short-term 12.
Short-term 12 is what I was thinking of.
Session 9, short-term 12. Way off.
That's a very, very, very different movie.
Different movie.
I just Googled it and I cannot find a Danvers, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's somewhere in New England. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe
there's Danbury, Connecticut.
Yeah, Danbury also has some weird stuff going on about it, you know.
It's known as the Hat City, Danbury.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had to play sports against them, and I want to say the name of their team was the Mad Hatters.
They are still the Mad Hatters.
Yeah, so, and that's because they made hats there, but the whatever they used in the brims, like mercury over the fucking...
Yeah, it was always mercury.
It was all in Connecticut, it's all mercury. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, people would lose their minds working at the hat factories.
Working
with all that stuff, which is why they're the Danbury Mad Hatters.
Those are some pretty bad vibes for a high school football team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different time. It was something where you're proud of your fucked up shit, too.
Yeah.
Where, you know what I mean? It was like, these are the Westport Radium Girls.
Yeah, well, because if they'd grown up during that time, they probably would have been working in the hat factory instead of at school.
Yeah,
so pretty much.
That's true.
It's a nice throwback to the way things used to be, the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's nice to have somebody come on like Pat, who did a lot of the stuff that I was too afraid to do, because what he described here was definitely like
graduated from him being like, hey, do you want to come to the cemetery with me and fucking take pictures and see orbs or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, I did that. I didn't go to the next level. So it's great to have somebody who did what I didn't do and well, come on the show.
Well, I mean, back then, we went around to a couple key spots. One of the places in Connecticut where the white lady shows up.
My brother claims he saw the white lady.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That's cool.
I mean, Connecticut's got a lot. There's a white lady. There's did you ever come with us to Drac Drive?
No, I did not go to Drac Drive.
It's just like a road called like Velvet Street or something in real life in Trumbull that, yeah, I have stories from there. I might have even told them on the previous recording, but yeah, Ray and I,
mm-hmm.
Ray, friend of the show, Ray, we did some stuff on Drac Drive.
Well, I mean, if you grew up here, you definitely heard the legends about the Melonheads.
I want to do a whole episode on Melonheads.
That's a tricky subject to cover in 2024.
It is.
Is it because?
Yeah, because.
Well, the thing is, like, there's so many legends about the Melonheads.
What is that noise?
Like,
you hear that noise?
Oh, yeah. That was my frog. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right, I've got some frogs chirping in. All right, cool.
All right, okay. Well, it comes up pretty loud and clear.
Well, the frogs might have heard us talking about Melonheads. They, you know, they're like cousins at this point, if you know, like, the lore behind it. And there's 10,000 different stories about
they
Melonheads.
Were like, they were, it was, like, people, like, incestuous, like, when they were, like,
No.
It's, oh, that's like, a whole other layer you're adding, Ed. That's a whole other layer that'll get us canceled.
for Connecticut, it was always the story of like a professor or Dr. Crow, something like that, and he did experiments on like unwanted children, and he basically like pumped their skulls full of fluid. That's why they have these misshapen melon heads. And he basically kept them feral. And as the story goes, like, that they broke out one day and...
started fucking.
And, well, killed him and ate him. And then just fled into the woods of Connecticut. And then hunted in packs. Like, that's what it was always told
like
of kids.
Velociraptors. Like velociraptors.
Raptors, yeah, I know. It's like, guys, don't go around in the woods at night. The melon heads are watching you.
But I mean, did your parents use that?
My dad did.
Yeah, my dad did too. Yeah, to like keep us, to get us home at night.
Exactly.
To be like, oh, the melon heads are out there.
Yeah, and you're just like, what is a melon head? Then he explains it to you like, that's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard
of. See, I asked and he was like, it doesn't matter. So you seem to know a lot more than I did. My dad was like, just be home. You don't want to know what a melon head is.
Yeah. Your dad was nicer. My dad went into great detail about it, telling us about how they would rip you apart and drag you back into the woods to gnaw on you for like a week straight while you slowly died. You're like, okay, thanks, Dad.
Well, some people in our Facebook group have requested feral children. And so we could probably do like a feral children melon head thing. I don't think it's difficult to talk about, Chris.
No. Well, yeah, I think we could, because there are melon heads in other states. I think, yeah. Ohio has a melon head legend, so they're around, and mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they, we could find a way to talk about them respectfully.
Well, I mean, wait, no one's found a melon head, right? I'm saying, like, because if you're like, listen, we actually found a tribe, an untouched tribe of melon heads, and they're all just.
Well, I think they're...
Then I get it. We don't want to touch that. But the Connecticut Melonheads are just, like, spooky stories.
Well, they're, yeah, no, they're
spooky stories.
I mean, they're... I don't think... They are spooky stories, except for the fact that I do think most of the Melonhead legends are probably inspired by people with encephalitis who were, like, thrown out of their communities and may have been living in the woods. Like, I do think there is a grain of truth to some of those legends.
And we'll just start at the top of the show if this is about... encephalitis people, you know, we're not punching down on encephalitis mm-hmm. people.
No.
But yeah, so yeah, those were my stories about Dudleytown and Fairfield Hills, just two creepy places. Both are kind of just like black stains on Connecticut. Things are falling behind you.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, I don't know, luckily Chris's audio is all just frogs.
Yeah.
fucking melon head just ran by it.
My cat somehow...
Pretty much.
Through a jewel case.
Mm-hmm. My cat somehow... opened her, like, her litter box has like a heavy door on the front of it because it's like a piece of furniture, and she somehow ripped the door open and it slammed down on the ground. So I apologize.
Hey, when you gotta go, you gotta go. I'm just saying.
Amazing. All right, well, Pat, thanks so much for sharing those stories with us, and we're hoping that you can maybe be our Connecticut correspondent for spooky places that the rest of us dare not go. And we will post this up for the fans, and we'll talk to you soon.
I mean, yeah, I've been to a lot of great places around New England. So, yeah, easy.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Tons of fun.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed hearing Baby Chris and Ed attempt to interview someone. It was a blast then and a great example of how far we've come now. Huge thanks to Pat Townsend for sharing his stories of multiple abandoned places in Connecticut and priming a potentially politically incorrect Boogeyman episode in the future.
Hell yeah.
We'll see, you know, if we do that.
you know we can't say no to a questionably ethical episode about anything. So you'll be hearing that at some point.
Yeah. How did the heads become melons? We'll find out. And then the last two things I wanted to say while I have you is, one, we mentioned Agent Orange potentially being sprayed at Dudley Town. And my dad, while driving on this trip, told me that Agent Orange is made in Connecticut.
Well, I guess we have an answer to the melon heads.
Yeah, maybe. So we'll see if that comes up again. And then two, we talked about Fairfield Hills in the episode, and they're actually trying to do something with Fairfield Hills now that includes having a farmer's market there where the dumpling place I work at is actually pretty well represented. They're now slinging dumplings at Fairfield Hills, which is crazy.
Nice.
And a brewery has opened called the New Asylum Brewery that I'm definitely going to try and check out before I come home.
Cursed. Cursed name, honestly. Tempting fate.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to let people know those two fun facts before we let them go. But this is, you know, this was fun. It was fun for me to just kind of go down memory lane and just see, like, it's just so crazy how much better we are now. I'm not saying what you listened to was bad, but I think we can all agree that if we did the interview today, it might be a little better.
I want to do more interviews. I've really grown to enjoy interviewing people. And I think I'm getting better at asking questions. And
we have a platform for it now. Like,
yeah.
When we interviewed people, even for this episode, it just seemed like it never really fit anywhere in abandoned towns without feeling like okay, and now we're going to go to an interview and then come back.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a place where we can put an interview without feeling like we're shoehorning it into an episode or anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks everybody. This has been New Fear Unlocked for this week. It was 2 years in the making, weirdly.
And worth every minute.
I think so.
Until next time, I'm Chris Colari.
And I'm Ed Ficola.
And this has been New Fear Unlocked. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The theme song may say this show has no name, but as you know, it actually has a name. New Fear Unlocked.
The thing you guys always say, that's the name. The name is New Fear Unlocked, but now it's over, so you can turn it off. There's nothing more after this. Thanks for coming.